It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Access of Easy. This is number 353. My name is Joey. That's Len. Buddy, what's going on over there? How the heck are you?
I am good, Joey. What a beautiful day it was today. Busy at work, but I don't care. Yeah. It's tomorrow. I'm off. I'm going to enjoy whatever comes at my way. So yeah, how are you over there, Joey? Because I'm on cloud nine right now.
I'm actually really tired. Before we recorded, I finished dinner and I had a half hour nap. Yesterday was a long day for me. I'll tell you what, I ride my bike to and from work. It was raining a little bit yesterday when I left. I did 8 kilometers in 12 and a half minutes on my bike. I was flying. I feel like I was really gunning it there. So I'm happy about that time. Then I played football last night. So my legs are pretty tired. I'm pretty tired, but I had a little French toast crunch here, sugary, empty carb cereal before we started recording. So I should be good here to record Access of Easy. I am not off.
I just
off
came tomorrow, back from the park.
Did you? How is it over there? It's going to be busy. The park near my house is packed all the time now. It's nice to see.
There's a bunch of parks over here. So we went to the splash pad. We went for a little bit over there. It was busy.
Is your daughter big on the splash pad?
Not anymore. No, she's now outgrown that. But still, yeah. I still want to take her out when her, you know, if it gets super hot.
Yeah.
I'm not turning on the AC. Let's go to the splash pad. Do it the cheap style.
A couple runs through there, like the sprinkler.
Heck yeah. If I can save a few bucks and have the town pay for it at the same time, bingo, I'll do that.
I love it. Thanks very much, Ontario Town. All right, well, let's get started. Last week's quote, change before you have to. That was from Jack Welsh. No one got that, if you can believe it. And this week's quote, it is not necessary to change. It is not necessary to change. Survival is not mandatory. A lot of change themes in the quotes here these days. If you know it, no Googling, no searching. You can only look in your set of encyclopedias. Or if you have Encarta encyclopedia on CD-ROM, also look there. Yeah, but no Googling. So if you know, put it in the comments and you get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS. Mark happy, of course, to take the loss for people who are quote enthusiasts. So Len, we got today, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stories. Couple of regulars here. We got a couple of frequent flyers on the list. We got some TikTok. We got some mobile outages. We got some Google AI. This should be a fun one. Where do you want to start?
Google's got a couple on this one. So they got the double header going. Because start off with one of those Google stories. And so we had a recent leak of one of the Google internal API documentation. This was after a faux pas using GitHub. And so they didn't want to do this, but it's been done. It's in the wild. And well, this leak has opened up the window for us to see what factors Google uses for ranking the algorithm when it comes to the SEO. This is the search engine optimization. So this is the way of improving the ranking of a web search when you do any sort of search on Google. So let's hypothetically use a travel business as an example. And travel businesses, well, they could leverage the insights from the leak to improve their website's ranking on the search engine and thus attract more potential customers. This is the theory behind all this thing. So the leaked documents show that Google's algorithm considers numerous factors when ranking these websites. So in this case, the fictitious travel website. And some of these factors include aspects like how often a user clicks on a website after seeing it listed on a search result. This is the click-through rate. How long a website has been around. So that's the domain age. And the quality of the content of the website. This is kind of tricky how to figure out. But either way, it just goes to show that there's possible ways that somebody could take advantage of this. There's lots of different things you could do by improving your quality of your content and so forth. But in the end, this is all stuff we already kind of knew. I don't think this is anything that's groundbreaking.
But it was never like admitted outright though, was it? Some of this stuff?
I don't think it really mattered in the end. The one that really, I think, ticks a lot of people off, more so me, is how they penalize the small companies. For example, they give the bigger players an advantage through this site authority. Those are the ones that are, you know, they try to figure out which ones are going to be ranked high or not. So the smaller sites, they give it a tag called small personal site. As a result, you're going to be buried in the result, and you're going to stay buried because you're not going to be able to get seen. So it's stuff like that that I didn't think existed, but here it is, at least according to this leak, and I'm going to take this for its what it's worth here. So that's pretty damning how they're doing this. They're favoring the larger businesses, larger sites, in favor of the smaller ones, which is too bad, because if you're a small minnow in this whole thing and you want to get into it, you want to get and grow, being buried in a search engine is really not one way to improve growth. But either way, some of this is new. A lot of this is old. But you know what? Shame on Google, but they're the biggest player in the game. I don't know what we could do about this. There's not really much alternatives out there.
No, there's not. I mean, SEO is important. We obviously value that at Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. You know, Mark obviously plays in that sandbox too. No pun intended, given there's a bit about sandboxes in his article here. But a couple of interesting things I thought were, you know, maybe worth just double clicking on. God, I hate that term, but there's not a better one for the moment. This small personal site thing. Why does it matter if it's a small personal site? And what is exactly a small personal site? I mean, there's some stuff here, you know, I'll quote from the article, and from the people looking at this, they seem to be demoted versus big brand sites, a huge headwind for small mom and pop indie businesses, if this is true. I mean, isn't there just so many hundreds of millions more small businesses than the big ones? What is a big brand? Like Nike's a big brand. Apple's a big brand. Netflix is a big brand. But like, when I think about those brands, I'm not Googling those. So what is the point really of like promoting those things in the SEO as opposed to like, you know, if I think of clothing, for example, right? I buy a lot of stuff from different clothing brands that are a little smaller than Nike. Like I like American Apparel, or I like Los Angeles Apparel, or, you know, these different companies sell like blank t-shirts. When I Google like best blanks or best men's t-shirt, Nike never comes up, and that's a big brand. So I would say that it's kind of hard for me to visualize how this might work. The big brand advantage doesn't make sense to me. Does it make sense to you? Am I missing something there? Like I'm just kind of going off of what's written and how I use Google. I'm never looking for that stuff on Google. Why does it matter if there's an advantage for them?
I'm wondering if it's tailoring the results specifically to you, if you're using an account that's logged in. That may be one. But the second thing is this leaked information. It's, you know, there's still got to be, we got to comb through it. And even with that, it may not be pertinent information. It could be old stuff that was used in the past. So we don't know if it's currently used by Google. So you have to take it with a grain of salt. But at the very least, the fact that they admitted at one time that they were doing this, or it shows that they may have been doing this with the small businesses, pretty crappy, in my opinion. If it's still being employed, this type of tactic remains to be seen. But either way, Google's not doing themselves any service here. In fact, we should be looking at them and say, like, let's try to find alternatives. But really, like, as I mentioned, none exist, which is too bad. Yeah, it's not like we could build one.
Yeah. So it's difficult to get ahead of this. I don't know. Again, to your point earlier, not to drag this one out, but, you know, they may not admit this stuff. And actually, Mark notes that they actually testified in Congress that they don't do some of this. Everyone knows they do, right? It's not a mystery. Everyone knows this. So let's see where this goes. But I'm not surprised.
Let's talk about this 911 problem here, because on June 4th, just a few days ago, 2 days ago, in fact, AT&T and Verizon customers across the United States experienced a service outage that lasted for several hours. And this outage impacted some 24 states. And this started around noon Eastern. And during that time, it left many customers unable to make telephone calls. And this is including the critical 911 calls that people may have been trying to make at that time. And according to reports, the outage impacted customers that were primarily concentrated in the Northeast and Midwest regions of the country. And of course, it's noted that this caused a lot of inconvenience to people out there and worry for many people who are just unable to connect to loved ones. For example, if you have an elderly family member or friend that you're trying to get access, or, you know, like as mentioned, emergency services like 911, either for paramedics or fire or whatever. But this was restored hours later around 7 p.m. So that's a 7-hour stretch that this outage was lasting. And it goes to show you that just how important these services are for people. It's not like people have a landline. People primarily are using their cell phones. And if the cell phone service goes out, what alternatives they have? They could go to the CB radio, but if nobody's on the squawk over there, they're not listening to you. And this is not the only time that this has happened. there's been other incidences with AT&T and Verizon. There was another outage in January 2024 where AT&T had a more limited outage, and also on May 22nd that it impacted customers in North Carolina and Virginia. So it really just goes to show you that we are highly reliant on these type of technologies, and I suspect it's relatively easy to knock it out. They might have a lot of backups, but I think there's, you know, there's a few points of failure. I don't want to get into this, but the reality is that even though this is very critical, I don't think it's going to take a heck of a lot to knock it out and cause mass disruption on a very large scale. So it's too bad, and hopefully nobody was impacted negatively, especially with the 911 stuff. That's pretty sad.
Definitely easy to take this stuff out. It happened here a few years ago. Remember the Rogers network went down for a full day almost 2 years back, I think.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, this is the one thing I would note is that don't you think it's more important than ever to have the data calling and the sort of, you know, assigned number calling on your device? Like if I want to talk to you, how many ways can I get a hold of Len during the day? I got his phone number. You know, we got multiple different voice communication channels if we want them. I'm pretty sure Twitter allows voice calls from checkmarked account to checkmarked account. So like, you know, our podcast account has checkmark. My personal account has checkmark. You know, there's many ways to call people. I would recommend looking into those, making sure you know how to use them, because there's going to be times where you might need them, it sounds like. Plus, you know, I have one grandparent left. You know, I'm lucky to have had two at one time, but three at one time, I should say, but I have one left. And my Nona still lives alone. She's like 92 years old, 93 years old. I don't know what she would do. You know, like, and those are the people you really want to be able to get a hold of. Generally speaking, when there's a problem with phones that is prolonged, it's not isolated. So that's another, you know, kind of concern I have. But at the end of the day, I think the broader theme here is that, again, like so many other times on this show, we talk about these sort of opaque black boxes where things are just supposed to work, right? You pick up your phone, it should call somebody. You need to receive a call, it should come through. And then they don't work. Now, here's my question. Do you think you're ever going to find out what happened here?
No.
No, never. And so you can't tell.
They would never
release that
because.
It's a vulnerability for sure. But
yeah.
The question isn't about, is it a vulnerability? The question is, like, what happened, and can you ensure customers that they're getting what they pay for when they use your service?
So what they probably will do is credit them for the 7 hours that they've lost service. So over the month, you could prorate it. And that's what they would do. And this is what other companies have done in the past. So they figure out, you know, how many hours are in a month. 7 hours of service will just credit you for the next month. You're good to go. And you're saying there may be other alternatives. Sometimes not, because people are just relying on just the one service.
That's what I mean. If they're using the number only, you're really, you're in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, even their home internet might be Verizon or AT&T. So if that gets knocked out as well, it's not like you could do anything at all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you're kind of stuck. So I don't know. I mean, you don't keep your eggs in one basket, but even with that, a lot of these services piggyback on others. So if one goes out, it's going to knock off a competing service that's giving you that service. So like, it's just, you're screwed in the end. You just got to go back to the basics. How do we do it 20, 25 years, 30 years ago? And remember how it is back then. And, you know, 21 years ago, we had that widespread outage of power in the Northeast.
Two days, right? Yeah. Cleveland, something happened in Cleveland and blacked out most of the, most of the US and then Ontario too, right? We were blacked out here.
Yeah. And so it wasn't that long ago you remember it. And what do we do? Thankfully, it was in August, so we didn't have to deal with houses freezing up and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was a different time too. I guess nowadays people won't be as apt to.
What did you do during that power out? I remember I was at Hillfield basketball camp here in Hamilton. We still ran the last day. It was a Thursday night when it happened. We still ran the last day. I think I was at Canusa practice the Thursday night, and my dad was hearing on the radio that the power was going to be out. It wasn't just going to be a couple of hours. Do you remember what you did? I think we just went home and played outside with our buddies. I think we had some leftover fireworks maybe on the street. Did that?
Oh, I remember vividly. So I was working at the time when it went out, around 3:30, 4 o'clock, maybe 4:30. Yeah. And so, we just finished work. And so I was lucky I had water at my house. I was living at my parents' house in Toronto, and they were in Italy at the time. So I was basically home alone. So we had water. My friend's house in Brampton had electricity, but no water. So we were between the two of us, we were able to figure things out. But I'll never forget that night, the first night of the power outage, people were playing soccer on the street, like one of the main streets of Toronto. I don't want to say where it was. And it was at night because you could actually, you know, they were just playing soccer. I was like, what the heck is this? They had like lights on and everything. Nice. There's no cars going around. It was just an amazing experience. And then eventually the next day we went to Burger King in Burlington because it was the only place that had electricity that we heard of. So we heard there was Burger King in Burlington that has electricity. All right, let's go. We all just piled in the car and went. So
love it.
That was a good time. But yeah. Hillfield, you went there?
I didn't go to Hillfield. They had a camp, like an invitation only camp. Listen, I am a great athlete still, but I was like a really top end athlete when I was a little younger. We'll talk about that another time. We'll start a podcast about it.
Push to protect AI whistleblowers. This is what's coming up here because we got wind about some whistleblowers that have raised concerns about AI. And this group of AI employees they're calling for protections for those who flag safety risks. So the authors of these, like they written an open letter here expressing worry about the rapid development of AI and that it could be dangerous. And they argue that companies should prioritize safety over profit. God, and some signatories to the letter are concerned about the potential for AI to manipulate people. All right, let's take a deeper dive into this. And so AI, we could admit it's a rapidly developing field. And there is potential. I'm not saying there is, it's going to happen, but there's potential to revolutionize some aspects of our life. But there are growing concerns about the potential risks of the AI and how it's going to be used in order to harm or manipulate people. So all I got to say about this, it highlights the fact that AI is simply programmed by human beings and they can be programmed with a bias. It's always going to be programmed with a bias. Either you like the bias or you don't like it because people are inherently biased and they're going to be putting this bias into the AI systems. There's no way around it. It's just too bad. But the reality is we're going to have to live with this. But the one thing that is scary for a lot of us is the big players in AI, they tend to have a certain narrative they want to push. May not be the narrative that we all want to see. Maybe it is what we all want to see. I'll try to leave it as vague as possible. But the fact that they're the biggest players in the game here, they're the big fish. They're the ones that are going to dictate how AI is going to be rolling out in the not too distant future. I don't know. I'm not too happy about this. I'm going to just be trying to stay away from this as much as possible, but that's just me. But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
What if these guys are so concerned, why'd they leave OpenAI?
They're getting a good paycheck, I'm guessing.
Like, is this, am I missing something here? Like, it doesn't say anything like it talks about this guy, Daniel Coca-Tailo.
I didn't even want to bro.
It says he left the company earlier this year. Okay, well, why did you leave if you think that you need to be influencing the outcome?
Like, maybe presumably, he got a better job somewhere else, better pay. I don't know.
But he's like, now he's like spending his free time writing letters to people. Like, what? Come on.
Better than protesting everywhere. So
I guess, he's yeah.
Doing
yeah.
something like a notch better.
I don't know, man. I don't understand. Like, OpenAI has obviously been in the news because of that Altman and Microsoft, the dramatic firing and rehiring and onboarding and reboarding and all these things and onboarding. And like, to me, I said this to you before, I don't know that AI is this world-changing thing. We've talked about AI a lot on this show and how it's not really the feedback loop you want in a product or service that is supposed to, you know, at some point be dangerous to society. It's not, I don't think we're close to like AGI or anything like that. And I also think that generally the sort of flywheel that comes along with telling AI it's doing a good job, you know, like I said earlier about the Google thing, it's kind of in the same vein. People who are bright enough to know whether the AI is giving them good information, don't go to AI for the information or for the work or for the outputs. Right. Even like you and me, you know, there was a time when I thought that, you know, we would use AI for a lot of the stuff we do for the show. And then you realize after some time using it that, like, more often than not, the product, especially written product, sucks. Like, it's not good. And maybe it's just because we're using the free stuff. But to me, this concern about, you know, it can manipulate people. You know, how many stories every week do we do about sort of the dumbest people on the planet getting dominated and you know, destroyed and pwned by these like subpar, substandard email scams and whatnot. There's a lot of other things we should worry about, I think, for the moment instead of this. And again, like, I can't stress this enough. If you were really that worried, why did you leave the company, man? Like, you were right there. You were on the inside. You could have influenced the outcome that way. But, you know, you chose to be on the outside, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. This whole thing doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I don't know. Where are these guys on the, like, are they talking about anything with Don Cherry and Rosie Barton? Because clearly that's something that's being posted that's trying to manipulate people. Where's their concern? Where is
I love I love that. We should talk about that. I don't know. We'll see if Mark wants to put it in the next episode. I mean, that's the thing. That's the AI thing that we should be worried about. Like,
right,
rumors clicking on Rosie Barton and Don Cherry talking about for $350, you can make 10,000 guaranteed. That's an incredible clip. I don't know if people are listening and watching saw that ad on YouTube yet, but you will at some point, I'm sure.
Somebody paid for that and they are paying for that with other people's money that were scammed. So it clearly works. So they could reinvest the scam money into more ads and go get rich from that. Anyways, Google, let's talk about the second story. So they have a double header. This is the nightcap. So there was a privacy breach at Google that was involving, it looks like, the collection of children's data. Mm. And we learned about the details of how Google's employees discovered these privacy issues between 2013 and 2018. And they were collecting, allegedly, they were collecting children's voices, their data through the YouTube Kids app.
Jail. Joey, jail. Jail. All of them need to go to jail. Continue.
And in just an hour, it's reported that about 1,000 data files with children's voices were recorded. So in just a very short period of time, they were able to generate that much data. Google claims this information was deleted. All right, we'll see. Now, given the fact that we talked about AI and the AI generation, like, who knows what this information can potentially be used for? That's number one. Number two, stealing people's voices, like what's being said, they could use this information against people depending on what has been said. Is if a children or child is talking, there may be an adult in the back also chatting as well. What did they say? If there's ever going to... Like, I don't know. It just becomes quite scary. But not only that, Google's also done, I guess we can even say that this is a third story, but this is part of the second story. They've also been collecting license plates number, and that was collected when they do Google Streets View. If anybody's seen this, they kind of blank out street numbers, I believe, but certainly the license plate numbers for cars or license plates for cars. Now, they're blanking it out, but a picture was taken of that. So clearly they must be parsing this somehow and taking this information and using it for God knows what. So that's another thing. Those Streets View stuff, they're going out and taking information left, right, and center, including your license plate numbers. And what are they going to be using with that? They say they may have deleted it or whatever. I don't believe it. But what will they do with it? I don't know. But Google, they're just simply a data collection company. That's what they do. They collect data. And they do it because we're willing to give up our privacy as a result of it. We willingly do it. And that's, I guess that's part of the agreement. But still, let's point it out. They are data collecting. And that's damning stuff.
What are you willingly doing? The Google Street car drives by your house and takes a picture of your front door.
Well, like,
that's not willing. Yeah. Why is that allowed?
Like, but the other crazy one, the YouTube Kids app, that is.
Oh, that's nuts. I know. That's nuts. Here's another one. Here's another good couple bangers here from the end of the article. Yet more incidents include a Waze carpool feature leaking home addresses and trips taken by users, a Google employee accessing videos listed as private on Nintendo's YouTube channel, and then leaking information ahead of Nintendo's planned announcements. This was qualified by Google as quote unquote non-intentional. I hope so. Then this one, there's more trouble at YouTube. YouTube made recommendations based on videos users had deleted from their watch history, noting this violated the platform's own policy. Len, what's going on over there? Like, it's like not just collecting the data, but they're not deleting the stuff they say they delete. They're making recommendations based on stuff you don't and purposely are trying to remove from your search history. Like, it's not good at all. And I think, like, when is the first? Here's one for you. Okay, you and me like to bet on time frames on the other show that we do. When is the first instance of a politician's Google search history leaking going to take place? Over under 4.5 years.
Under.
Under.
Way under.
You think, eh? You're that far under, yeah?
Yeah. And I think this is not going to be... I think it's going to be done, and there's going to be little consequence for it and little pushback for it, because given what's going to happen, there's going to be a change in the White House moving forward. And whose information are they probably going to be leaking? Maybe one of the Bidens, I'm guessing, right? There's going to be somebody.
Trump's probably kid. Trump. Who knows, right? It could be anybody. Trump's got like a 17 or 18-year-old kid, right? Barron, how old's Barron? Pretty young.
Yeah, he's quite young. But
he's around the age where you'd be searching up all sorts of different things for the first time or the third time. You know, like that's a good age for Google searching, I'm sure. And, yeah. You know, if I was someone who's looking to compromise that campaign, like, you know, he's an adult now. He's fair game. So that's a good place to start. If you could get it, Silicon Valley doesn't like that guy or his party. So I don't know, man. I don't like any of this. This isn't going to be a brave new world we're going into here.
I think there's a lot of enemies that have been made. So it doesn't have to be somebody internal to Google that does it. It could be somebody that's external and just, you know, they have a vendetta.
Yeah.
Anyways, TikTok. Let's do this last story. So critical vulnerability in TikTok. Well, this allows attackers to gain control of celebrity accounts. Good thing we're not on TikTok, because of a couple of celebrities and we would be one of the targeted individuals. This report details a concerning exploit within the messaging system of TikTok, where attackers are able to leverage a zero-day vulnerability to compromise these accounts. And this isn't the first time that TikTok has been dealt with one of these security concerns. In the past, attackers could also potentially build a database containing users' telephone numbers of the hijacked accounts using malicious links, and they were monitoring users' activity undetected. So a whole bunch of things were going on behind the scenes. So TikTok, they have said they have addressed this issue with this latest zero day, and they're actively working to restore compromised accounts. All I gotta say, if you are a TikTok user, you deserve whatever comes to you. You know what it's all about. It's not like they're hiding it. The Chinese Communist Party, they're behind it, and they have two different versions. They give us the crappy one to poison the minds of young folks, and they give the good ones to themselves. So they're encouraging people to do the right things. Either way, I don't want to get too deep into this, but yeah, screw TikTok. And if you're using TikTok, I gotta just almost say screw you.
Yeah, you're gonna be screwed whether Len, you know, wishes it on you or it happens to you naturally. You know, the Darwin method. I don't know why you'd be still on this app at this point. Like, are you really that addicted to vacuous scrolling? You know, and endorphin bumps, dopamine hits. Like, I don't understand why you'd still be on this app. There's other apps that are, you know, also stealing your data, but maybe, you know, won't let you be otherwise compromised, that are better to use. You know, Facebook has its Instagram app, YouTube has Shorts. It's all kinds of stuff you can waste time on. Why choose this? You know, like, why? And then at the end of the day, Len, like, isn't the answer, you know, to go touch grass, as the kids say. Get off this thing. You don't need to be on TikTok. Is TikTok even the juggernaut that it once was? I mean, it's under a lot of heat these days in the US. I think they're talking about releasing the source code for the algorithm. And I think I did see somewhere the other day legislation coming down that I can't remember what app, but the algo is going to be opt-in from now on, and the app is not going to be able to send notifications to kids under 18 after a certain time of night.
We talked a lot about this, not about the kids under 18 after night. I think we talked about kids, but not specifically that they're going to get these notifications.
They can't fight it. How does a kid like fight? You know, what do you do? I don't know. The parents these days are like, not great. But
a lot of them too, Joey, they're inundated with problems of their own.
Yeah. And they're on the apps. The number of parents I see at the park, kids are like playing on the structures and they're just like flipping through their phones. Oh my God.
Well, they need
even looking at my phone when I'm walking my dog. Like, I feel bad looking at my phone for any reason if I'm doing something. So, like, you're never going to catch me.
Right?
Yeah. Like I would just rather, yeah, accept that. I would just rather, I would just rather talk to Moose on our walks than I would, like, you know, whatever. I don't know. Like, what are you doing? You're doom scrolling at the park? Why? You know, you're watching funny videos at the park? Why? Your kid is on the play structure. Like, I don't know. To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I know parents are inundated with their own problems. My bigger concern is that they're stuck on the same screens. That's the big one for me. Yeah,
they are. They have think about it. You know, you wake up early, you send your kid to school, and you go to work, and then you come back home. And, you know, from whatever reason, because of other people's decisions, you're just, you know, running on a treadmill at best. You're not gaining anything. You may be going behind. Like, what else are you going to do? Get a, you know, a second job? Like it's these times are tough for a lot of folks out there.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm not trying to give them a free pass here. I'm just trying to say some people, you know, it's unfortunate. They got to just numb their minds, and they got to just do that. And then it just compounds the problem. Then they're used to this, and they have to use this. And
yeah.
It is all stems to the broken money system. Nah, I'm always going to use that as right. If that wasn't an issue, a lot of problems would have been solved.
Yeah,
right?
I agree with you. I do agree with you. Obviously,
you wouldn't have to work a second job to invest in the market to figure out how to beat inflation. I think of all the people that do that.
I know.
Just buy Bitcoin, but all the people that do that.
It's so sad. It's so sad, man. Yeah. God, we're gonna have so much to talk about on Monday. I can't wait. Anyway. That's it. Access of Easy wrapped up for this week. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the newsletter, visit easydns.com, accessofeasy.com for the rest of the stories. There's always more than we talk about. Dive in, get wet, and until next time, take care of yourselves.
And dry up. Okay.